Welcome back at WNST, Taps from Baltimore and Baltimore. Positive, happy 2021 to you. I was going to bring some of the leftover Prosecco in here to have a little celebration. At some point, I did some house cleaning around here, and I did not plug in the purple Festivus lights on the back end of what was a wild Sunday afternoon. Not just the 1 o'clock game, certainly the 4 o'clock games took on a life. Luke Jones, I am happy to report that the Ravens will be playing into 2021. They will have a seat at the playoff festival, and they'll be going to Tennessee. So all of these things, they all just sort of fall into place just the way we knew they would back on Labor Day, right?
Yeah, no question about it. I think maybe most people anticipated the road being a little more smooth than it ended up being, but hey, what more can you ask for going into January? You're back in the playoffs, and you're facing the Tennessee Titans, a team that broke your hearts last January. You were on top of the football world, 14-2, had won 12 straight. No one was giving the Titans a chance, and they broke their hearts. And now the Redemption Tour, which we've talked about since what? I guess that game was played, what, January 11th, January 12th? The day after that, we started talking about this. So it feels right. We'll certainly talk about this Bengals game and just a dominant performance, a historic rushing performance for the Baltimore Ravens. But Ravens, Titans, old AFC Central. And as I put out on Twitter, as soon as the Titans win on the doink off the upright going through down in Houston, fifth time these teams will have met in the playoffs. The road team won the first four. So Ravens playing in Nashville, if you believe in that trend continuing, then there you go. So, a great day for the Ravens on Sunday. And as you mentioned, lots of drama with the NFL expanding the playoff field, seven teams in each conference. And you had plenty of teams in it. And the Miami Dolphins going home despite being a 10-win team. I guess that, that was some cold water in the argument of not expanding the playoff field, that a team that, 10-6 normally, more often than not feels like that gets in, but they didn't. But the Ravens, they get to 11-5, five in a row, and certainly feeling good about themselves going into what's just going to be a massive week here around town.
Luke, you've been on any of our Nashville trips? I'm trying to think.
I have not. I've been.
I had a feeling you've never been to Nashville for some reason.
I have not.
And you were a listener, if not sort of a spider guy in our web around the time that we had the event that we had in Nashville. You can go check out the video at a place called Graham Central Station. We put 2,500 people in there before the game, and there's some videos out there, some Ravens fans rocking some taxis, pulling up back when taxis before Uber was a thing, right? This is going back, right? And before HD was a thing. And my kid actually shot that video out of the upper, out of the second floor. That's where the bomb went off. And I'm not going this week. I had thought about like sliding in. I have a flight to Kansas City next week. I thought maybe Buffalo or Pittsburgh or wherever it would be. I'm going to let this one go. But like, I think about the history, and I thought a lot about this, right? Because we played them recently. I woke up there on my 50th birthday. I was at the Eddie George game, the last day I ever spent with John Stedman. That was a great day in my life. I spent with John. We took a taxi back to the airport, and I've had such great experiences there. And the whole Schwartz thing and everything. It's my old Oiler thing, and it really is incredible that this has become something. Dude, they've eliminated the Ravens in Baltimore twice, literally, and we haven't played a whole lot of home games around here, right? So this is another sort of piece to this sort of weird rivalry, right?
I don't even think it's that weird, Nestor. I think if you go back and you remember the days of the AFC Central, and this might sound like sacrilege to younger fans, someone that might be in their 20s or someone who's in high school and has been a Ravens fan from the moment they can remember. But I always felt Ravens Titans was Ravens Steelers before Ravens Steelers became what it's become over the last 20 years. I mean, you go back to 99, the Ravens, kind of their first high profile win against the Titans team that ended up in the Super Bowl. Remember, that was a big game for Tony Banks, and the Ravens finished strong that year, even though they didn't make the playoffs. 2000 speaks for itself. And then, I mean, you have 2003. And at that point, of course, the divisions have been realigned. But you know, that 99 through 2001, you know, that Monday night game in Nashville, the goal line stand. I mean, there were some, I mean, absolute barn burners between these two
teams.
Dude,
I was sitting on the 5-yard line. Like, I was on the field when that play happened. Like,
right,
literally,
right.
When Saragusa did the fake snap thing. Like, there's a lot, and we don't play them every year, but it feels like there's always some stakes involved when something's going on here with these franchises. And even as Sunday was crazy, right? Like, it was Texas. No, it was Titans. No, it was Texas. No, it was Titans. I mean, and even in the end, icing the kicker and everything that went on, like, that division, those teams don't like each other much. I know there's no sort of dominant thing there, you know, post-Peyton Manning, but those teams fight hard. And the last day of the NFL season only comes once a year, right? Like, I forget how good it usually is, right? Like, how there's always some team getting upset, some weird happening. And, you know, it felt like, wow, we're going to go to Indianapolis after all here for a little while, right?
Well, I mean, I saw your tweet probably, what was that, early third quarter, and you had kind of made the assumptions. And by the way, I didn't disagree with you, but, you know, you never count out Deshaun Watson. And look, that Titans team, and we'll talk a lot about the Titans over the course of the week, it's not the same defense it was last year when we talked about how they just completely, you know, not that they smothered the Ravens, because we know the Ravens turned the ball over and there was some self-destruction there. They moved the ball well. The final yardage total looked really impressive. But we know how that played out. We know that they had a really good plan for Lamar Jackson. And, you know, how much of that's Dean Pease? How much of that is some personnel that's moved on? You know, it's hard to say, but that's a Titans team that hasn't stopped many people. Now, they're better against the run than they are against the pass. And I think that's notable when you're talking about a team that just ran for over 400 yards and has run for, what, 230 or more in four of their last five games. So, I mean, clearly, the big question for the Titans is going to be, can they slow down this Ravens offense that has just been unbelievable over the last 5 weeks? I know they haven't played a murderer's row of opponents, but at the same time, the Titans haven't really stopped teams. So, you know, is this going to end up being a game that's in the 30s? You know, we'll have to see, but it's a lot of fun. And to go back to what I said before, I mean, for fans who remember the early years, Ravens Titans getting together, it's fun. And I mean, my goodness, think about the first four meetings in the playoffs between these teams. I mean, we think of the two times that the Titans have come into Baltimore, but think about it. The Ravens knock them off in 2000, Steve McNair and Eddie George and company, they were the number one seed. And 2008, that Kerry Collins team, the Ravens go in there and Stover hits the late field goal and they're going to the AFC Championship and the Titans are going home. So, you know, you've had some great games in this rivalry that, and maybe it does feel a little more special in the sense that they don't play each other twice a year like Ravens Steelers, but I'll always
have
a
big
soft
game against the Titans, right? Like, literally.
But I'll just say, I mean, look, I'm not at all saying Ravens Titans is better than Ravens Steelers. I mean, Ravens Steelers at this point is such a legacy rivalry in the NFL, and it has been for two decades now. But I just think back to those early years, and you know what? Early on in the AFC Central for the Ravens, it was Jacksonville and the Titans that the Ravens were chasing. And the Steelers were, you know, kind of where the Ravens were. I mean, they had kind of fallen back a little bit in the late 90s going into the new millennium. So, you know, it's just fun to renew that. And
well, think about how many bad quarterbacks the Titans have drafted. You know, during, you know, how many of Vince, whatever his name was, and Mariota, who's now running around with the Raiders, and, you know, just how many high draft picks they had. They were bad for a while, man. Like, them hosting playoff games, kind of heady for them.
Well, it's like I said, I mean, they had Kerry Collins, who caught lightning in a bottle for them for a short time. And, I mean, ironically, you mentioned some of the misses with Vince Young and Mariota. Ryan Tannehill had been cast away by the Dolphins. You know, he has a renaissance, and look what he's done the last 2 years.
They were,
you have to
winning
give him
the
credit.
Championship game 9 months ago, like, right? So, or 11 months ago now, I guess, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's wild when you really think about it. But, I mean, if you're to bring it back to the Ravens and talking about the Ravens in 2020 and trying to exorcise the demons from last year, and I think back to week three. You know, there was so much excitement for the Monday night game. Chiefs coming into town, a chance for the Ravens to kind of stake their claim as the best team in the league. And we saw how that went. And whether they're going to get a shot at the Chiefs here over the next couple of weeks, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But I said at the time, and I wrote this at BaltimorePositive.com, that it was going to be a long, thankless journey to get back to January. And having no idea what was going to happen in terms of the COVID outbreak, or I anticipated November could be rough for them when you just looked at the schedule. And when I say rough, I thought, yeah, they could lose a couple games there, and that might be the difference between being the number one seed or winning the division or whatever it might be. But for them to go through what they went through and to win these last five and knowing they had so little margin for error, it feels right that a redemption tour, so to speak, is going to begin against the Tennessee Titans. And, you know, it was funny. I was actually talking to my brother as the Titans were trying to win and you know, trying to hold off Houston with what the Texans were doing to them, pesky effort for them. But it really speaks to how deep we are into this thing that I said at the time to him. The Ravens playing the Titans would be a way better story if we're talking about it from a story standpoint than them going to Indianapolis, which just speaks to, you know, 20 years ago, no one would have said that.
Correct.
Now it's the truth, though, and it just speaks to no one's going to forget Indianapolis and the Colts, and no one should forget that. It does speak to how deep into this thing we are and how the Ravens have their own history and their own legacy, and that's a great thing. And the fact that what happened to them last year, as painful as that was, they get a chance now to go into Nashville, go into the Titans building, and you know, they're not the number one seed, and certainly the Titans have looked vulnerable and aren't looking like a juggernaut, but you know, a chance to start your redemption tour against the team that knocked you off the year before. I mean, you know, speaking as a journalist, speaking as a reporter, I mean, you can't get any better than that. And, you know, if you end up seeing Pittsburgh, if you end up seeing Kansas City later on and you are able to survive the first weekend and get into the divisional round, then great. But you know, for that first playoff meeting, you know, after what happened last year, it kind of feels right that it was going to be the Tennessee Titans.
You know, I've spent the end of both of these seasons sort of next to you in this sort of solemn press box environment in a stadium that both times sort of emptying out with disappointment. Last year specifically, and even more so last year, where it was whitewashed so early and the turnovers, and it was really lopsided. I mean, the year before that, they're yelling for Joe Flacco around there, right? So that's how near and yet far it all feels in 2 years. But I remember walking through the stadium with you on the way out last year, going to the elevator. I'm making my way home, and the season is suddenly over, right? And I had party plans in Fort Lauderdale. We had Super Bowl buses. We controlled our own destiny. We were going to have a championship game at home. Like, all of that was right. We sat around with our feet up the weekend before watching football. And I remember saying to you, on the way out, like, nothing matters until where they are and where they sit. Where will they be when the playoffs begin next year? Now, whether that's one seed or eight seed or seven seed or four, wherever it is, turns out they're the road seed going to what I would say and you would say based on how they're playing, based on their health and the way this thing is set up. This is a winnable football. And the fact that, you know, whatever fans will be there will be negligible, although I know they're nuts in Tennessee. I've seen their representative, Marsha Blackburn. You get a big finger from me. But I would say this is a different kind of road game than the one we went to with Eddie George down there, or any of the other, even the Goose game you talk about the year after that, or any of the other tough games. I was at the touchdown throwback game with the Bills many, many moons ago, strangely enough. I was one of the guys that didn't leave. So I've got like all these memories in sort of that place. And, you know, I guess for the league and more than anything at this point, the last weekend and this ticket to get in and the way they've sort of organized this whole thing, the league's been better than advertised. I mean, all the way through, I'll be the first one to say I was not a fan of the Broncos game. I was not a fan of the Ravens game getting moved and them playing it. I thought there should have been forfeits throughout the course of the year. We'll make that argument. But where we are now, it is very, very believable, right? This is a good tournament they have in front of them the next couple of weeks.
It is, but it's also a reminder of it's still tenuous. I mean, look at some of the COVID positives, even for week 17. Now, it didn't disrupt a game. It didn't force any postponements, but I think that's what's so, I mean, that's what's been so fascinating about this season all along. And, you know, not to trivialize the reality of a pandemic, but just the attempt of persevering through it to have a season and to have some level of credibility that maybe isn't 100% perfect. And, you know, I mean, I saw the Broncos game. I saw the Ravens post-Thanksgiving game with the Steelers. I get that. You know, the 49ers had a really tough draw on a Thursday night earlier in the season.
Well, look at the Titans. If you would have told them the week that all hell was breaking loose for them, that they would be a division winner, hosting a playoff game, having a chance to win with a healthy Derrick Henry and a healthy Tannehill, they, you know, they would have taken the steal. I mean, and for the Ravens, if you would have told me where they were and a year ago and said they're going to have to this time next year go on the road and play it that way, but healthfully in Tennessee, Buffalo's taking that next step. The Pittsburgh's still there, and they're, you know, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. You know, all of this was very sellable to me on the elevator ride, literally, Luke. On the elevator ride up, if you would have said to me, other than COVID, right, which none of us could have predicted, that this is the way the playoffs would align, you know, very, very plausible, the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and I mean, maybe I'm not expecting Pittsburgh to be undefeated as deep into the season as they were, but, I mean, you saw what kind of issues the Steelers have had at the end of the year, and but you're right, and I mean, that was always what was, as much as people tried to put on a positive face and say, okay, well, the Ravens were ahead of schedule in 2019 and Lamar's only, you know, just turned 23 and they had 13 guys in the Pro Bowl and they went 14-2 and they won 12 straight. What did we say in the aftermath of that? You don't have seasons that go that well on paper in terms of injuries, in terms of, you know, the way the schedule sets up. I mean, all those different things. And I mean, I wasn't someone that was, you know, I was laughing at the concept of them going 15-1, or I think it was Colin Cowherd or some national talking head saying they were going to go 16-0, or, you know, I because it's really tough to do this. So you're right in the sense of the COVID aspect aside, if you had told me 11-5, I would have been surprised that they didn't win the division, just because I was really skeptical about Ben Roethlisberger coming back and whether he was going to be able to do it at all, let alone be able to do it at a high enough level. Not that he's played at an MVP level or anything like that, but, you know, complimentary to that defense, I would have been skeptical of that. I would have said the Ravens will win the division. The question is going to be, are they going to be the number one seed? Are they going to hold off the Chiefs? You know, I didn't think necessarily Josh Allen would play at an MVP level. The Bills, you know, as much as we talk about the Ravens and want to hype up what they've done, the Bills have made a pretty good argument for being the best team in the AFC over the last 5 weeks. So, but it's the concept of, you know, you go through a little more adversity, not that you want it to be a COVID outbreak, but you lose some games and you have an offense that's not clicking like it did last year. And then the defense that played so well over the first 9-10 games, they go through a rash of injuries where it really shows up. I mean, it really showed up in the month of November, not having Calais Campbell and not having Brandon Williams, and then having some injuries in the secondary here over the last month that they still won games, but we certainly saw in the Cleveland game anyway that, you know, you give up 42 points. It's not very Raven-like. So they've gone through all this adversity, and I think it was Lamar Jackson. I don't know if he said it this week or the week before, and he's been asked this question multiple times over since he's come back from his own COVID infection. But, you know, he's been asked about, do you think the fact that you've gone through this adversity as a team and things haven't been as easy for you, do you think that there's something to the idea that you're more battle-tested rather than last year? I mean, they were just, you know, they're being dealt pocket aces every week, and not taking that away. They deserved that. They earned that. They were 14-2, but things just broke right for them. So, and they had so few injuries, and, you know, this year they didn't have that, and they went through hell in November, and to come out on the other side. And yeah, look, they had a very beneficial schedule over the final month of the season, but we talked about that after the Steelers loss post Thanksgiving. And we even said, I don't see why this team couldn't go 5-0 or at least 4-1, not knowing about the Browns, but they did it. They went out and did it. And I think it's a good reminder seeing what.
And they did it with authority. You know,
sure, exactly.
I thought one of these last 3 weeks, they needed Justin Tucker field goal at the end.
Yeah.
The way everybody in the league felt like they did on Sunday. Like, right? I mean, and the way the Jets last week, you know, wind up, you know, pulling a big upset. And they're just. they're lurking behind every corner. That upset in week 16 and 17, we've seen this all of our lives.
Well, I mean, look at Andy Dalton to Tyler Boyd 3 years ago. I mean, we talked about that all week. And if you look at that team, as much as you kind of you revise history a little bit and say, well, that team wasn't good enough. And look, I think this year's team is clearly better than that 2017 team. But I think people kind of forget that team had won, what was it, four out of five of their last six going into that week 17. And Joe Flacco was playing better than he had earlier in the season. The defense was playing at a high level. And you saw what happened. And that was a Bengals team that was playing out the string at that point.
By the way, I'll make my case for Joe Flacco just because he may have played his last game. He was not on the field when Tyler Boyd was. I just want to point that out.
Sure. And I mean, this is where we kind of come.
He threw the ball to Lee Evans. It's January. I need to point that out again.
But this is where we kind of come full circle and say, look, hats off to the Ravens. They ran for 400 yards. I mean, that was a top five post-1950 rushing performance that they had. That was a franchise record rushing performance. They eclipsed the week two 2003 Ravens with Jamal running for 295 yards. I mean, it was incredible to see J.K. Dobbins and Lamar Jackson do what they did and Gus Edwards. And they even got Mark Ingram back into the picture. But now is where we kind of come to the present and say, okay, they beat the Bengals 38-3. They took care of business. Give them full credit for that. As you mentioned, nothing's a guarantee in this league. But now we come to, all right, you're back. You overcame the adversity. You've won your last five. You've qualified for the tournament. And now what do we talk about? This team needing to get over the hump. And I don't necessarily mean win the Super Bowl in that way, but this team needs to take the next step. And, you know, even if you thought back in week eight when Ronnie Stanley goes down for the season and then a couple weeks later Nick Boyle goes down for the season and knowing the struggles that they had, even at that point you and I talked about this a lot, about whether this team was capable of winning a Super Bowl or not at that point. And you know, we certainly lean towards no at that point. It's a lesson that it's a long season, but I think now that they're back in this position and now that they're playing at the level at which they played, where I'll take their chances against anybody. It doesn't mean I think or I'll predict them to beat Kansas City. Doesn't mean they will beat Buffalo. But you know, if you're looking at Tennessee, you're looking at the rest of the playoff field other than Kansas City and Buffalo, I think I'm taking the Ravens at this point. And then after that, it's, you know, you see what happens with those potential matchups. But you know, I don't even think it's a case where the pressure's on them. I think the Ravens feel the pressure at this point. I think Lamar Jackson feels the pressure of knowing that we've got to win a playoff game.
Yeah, this time next week, they better be planning to go to Buffalo or Pittsburgh or Kansas City, whoever it's going to be.
Let's get the first one, and then we'll talk about the health of whoever they're playing, and we'll talk about how they get out of this one. And you know, I think it's fair to point out that they did have some guys that were missing on Sunday. Yannick Ngakoue wasn't out there. Jimmy Smith came back to practice this week a little bit. You know, I think the target all along was for him to be ready for the wild card game. They didn't have Willie Snead. They didn't have Patrick McCary. I mean, how about Tristan Colon Castillo, the rookie free agent starting at center, his second career NFL start at center. And hey, he was part of a 400-yard rushing performance up front. So,
by the way, let's go back to like Lamar coming out of the locker room with the whatever situation he had.
Oh, sure.
And coming back and winning that game and like how that is the reason they're playing, literally.
Yeah. I mean, it, depending on how this shakes out now, you know, if you go to Nashville and you lose.
A Willis Reed moment.
Right. But if you go to Nashville and you don't advance, then you'll look at that as a great regular season moment still. I mean, my goodness, one of the most exciting regular season games in franchise history. But if dare I start to talk about the possibility of a deep run or dare I say a Super Bowl run, you look back at that and that'll be, you know, that'll be in Ravens lore up there with, you know, probably not quite at the level of Jacoby Jones in Denver, but the next tier down, I'd say, when you consider how tough they had to play and how well they had to play down the stretch just to make it, because it was such a competitive field. But, you know, I mean, this team's pretty darn battle tested right now. Unlike, you know, the last couple weeks in December last year, where, I mean, they had Robert Griffin III running around in week 17 and, you know, they rested starters, which I still say was the right call. I'm not going to back down from that because the Ravens lost a couple weeks after that, but it's just a way different environment. And for me, Nestor, and I'm sure I will mention this at some point in writing at BaltimorePositive.com over the course of the week, but I think back to the week of the Tennessee playoff game last year, and John Harbaugh was asked about the Titans. Remember, the Titans at that point were coming off of the road win in New England, Tom Brady's ultimately his last game as a Patriot. And I mean, the Titans really had to work just to get in as a wild card. I mean, this wasn't a, they weren't a 12-4 wild card team by any stretch. And Harbaugh made a mention of, proved to be some unfortunate foreshadowing for the Ravens, but he made mention about how they were a dangerous team because their backs had been against the wall for a few weeks and they had already been in playoff mode for a few weeks. And now you look at that, even though the Titans certainly had something to play for on Sunday as well to win the division. But, you know, the Ravens have been through that now. So it's still different. And no one's going to tell you that week 16 or 17 is the same as the wild card round, but it is a different animal for the Ravens now where, you know, last year it was a case of you cruise to the finish line, you got a little bit of rest, and they weren't able to turn that back on for whatever reason. And give Tennessee credit because they beat some other teams along the way to the conference championship game. But this time around, it's the Ravens, they're getting some love at this point. I mean, I everyone's going to say they're the big time underdog now. Against Tennessee or against Kansas City, sure. I think that would still play out that way, but
I expect them to win. I'll be shocked if they lose this week, to be honest. What? The way they're playing right now.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. If you've watched them play for a few weeks now, and again, I get it. They haven't been playing great teams, but
you would have said that 52 still, weeks
this is
ago
the
right
NFL
too.
Right. And this is the NFL, and you don't see beaten teams by 4 or 5 touchdowns the way that we've seen them do that. Not every week, but handle teams. I mean, look at Sunday's game. I mean, it was the second week in the row. The Ravens held the ball for 22 plus minutes in the first half. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, that's great offense. That's great ball control offense running the football. And it's your defense going out there and getting a 3-and-out and giving it right back to the offense. I mean, it's the epitome of complementary football right there. Great complementary football. So I'll still say, and I've said this all along, and I'll be consistent. And look, Lamar Jackson threw 3 touchdowns on Sunday, despite only throwing 18 passes. And you know, that throw on the run to Marquise Brown for the touchdown was a terrific throw. He threw the ball really well. Should have had another long completion to Marquise Brown early in the game. But as much as they ran the ball for 400 yards, I'll still say the big question for me is going to come down to they're going to be in a position at some point where they're going to have to make more plays through the air than running the ball. And I still have questions about that until I see it in the highest profile of games that you get in January. But beyond that question, you haven't been able to answer all year because they haven't been in January. You look at where they are through the end of the season, 11-5 after being 6-5. I'll take them, giving them a chance against anyone at this point. It doesn't mean they're going to beat everyone. But
there's only one measurement. They got to be playing football Monday for anything to be significant.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, we'll talk about it. If they get past the Titans, we can talk about it and we'll see what the matchups are, what the health situation is. But I think for this season to feel like you're in a position where you're playing with house money, you at least need to get the divisional round. And I think even though John Harbaugh would say we don't think about it in those terms, I think to a man privately, coaches and players would have to say that, if we're fast forwarding a month from now or 6 weeks from now, we know the season's over and then you kind of tell them how it went. They would say we better have won at least one game in January. But of course they're thinking much more lofty goals than that right now, as they should with the way they've been playing the last few weeks.
All right. We will be dissecting all things Ravens at Nashville this week and a little bit of historical flair. It gives me a chance to reach to all my Titans mafia all week long. So we'll have plenty of great conversations leading up to the game and the kinds of conversations we had last year before the Eddie George memories and all of that stuff. So it is a big week around here. I'm going to find my purple Festivus lights and string them up right alongside my Liberty Pure Solutions. By the way, I got my water on the set here. 1-800-CLEAN-WATER, the way to find our friends at Liberty Pure. I'm going to find Doug Workman. I'm probably going to find Matt Stover before the week's over, talk some kicking with him. It's been a little slow last couple weeks toward the end of the year. I'm revved up now. It's 2021. Don Mohler's got all sorts of – we have every county executive, I think, in the state coming on by the end of the month, including our new mayor, Brandon Scott. So lots of things happening here at Baltimore Positive. Make sure you're checking us out. Our new website, make sure you're checking us out with the podcast Audio Vault. You can listen live. You can check us out from any place you are, especially into the new year. It is a Festivus week. He is Baltimore Luke out on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and all the other places you follow social media. He'll be on all things Ravens this week. I will be on all things Ravens, Titans, Baltimore Positive, and all sorts of other things, including treason and sedition. Who knew? Nasty at WNST.net still finds me. We are on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Snapchat and all of the places that mobile devices take you. We are WNST.net, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. It's Festivus at Baltimore Positive.